Come, let us welcome the Sabbath. May its radiance illumine our hearts as we kindle these tapers. Light is a symbol of the divine. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Light is a symbol of the divine in man. The spirit of man is the light of the Lord. Light is the symbol of the divine law. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Light is a symbol of Israel's mission. I, the Lord, have set thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the nations. Therefore, in the spirit of our ancient tradition that hallows and unites Israel in all lands and all ages, do we now kindle the Sabbath light. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, ruling spirit of the universe, who hast sanctified us by thy laws and commanded us to kindle the Sabbath light. May the Lord bless us with Sabbath joy. May the Lord bless us with Sabbath holiness. May the Lord bless us with Sabbath peace. Amen.
Continue our service now in the Union Prayer Book, page 27. On this day, holy unto Israel, we enter this sanctuary to unite with our brethren in worship. We come unto thee, O God, with joyous gratitude for the strength thou hast given us to do our work during the past week, and for the fortitude to meet trials and temptations. May this hour of devotion awaken within us the consciousness of thy presence and bring peace and rest to our spirits. Aid us to banish all anxiety and fear, all fretting and complaining, and sustain our hearts with faith. Send forth thy light that we may walk in the way of thy commandments. Draw our spirits toward thee, and let thy truth lead us. Help us to become instruments of thy will. Through days of labor and Sabbaths of rest, through our daily tasks and our worship, we would minister unto thee. Let the beauty of thy holiness shine into our hearts, that we may grow more steadfast in our faith and in our love of thee and of our fellow men. Amen. Only for God doth my soul wait in stillness. From him cometh my hope. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Guide me in thy truth. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength and my portion forever. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. My times are in thy hand, and thou wilt guide and sustain me even unto the end. Let us rise now for the Borchu and remain standing until the completion of the Shema. Borchu es Adonai Hamavorach. Praise ye the Lord, to whom all praise is due. Baruch Adonai Hamavorach Leolam Voed. Praised be the Lord, to whom all praise is due forever and ever. Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Leolam Voed. Praised be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Vyohavto eis Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol meyodecha. V'hoyu hadvorim ho'ele, asher onochi metzavcha hayom al levavecha. V'shinantom levonecha v'dibarto bom, v'shivtecha b'veisecha, v'lechtecha v'aderech, v'shachbecha v'kumecha. Ukshartom lios al yodecho, v'hoyu l'totafos b'neinecho. Uksavtom al mezuzos b'secho, uvishorecho. V'man tizkeru v'asisem es kol mitzvosoi, v'yisem kadoshim l'elohechem, ani Adonai Elohechem. Let us worship together now on the bottom of page 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt speak of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. In truth, the Lord of the universe is our Redeemer. Let us praise him who giveth rest unto the weary, and hope unto the despondent. Blessed be the Sabbath, the Queen of Days, which brings unto Israel enrichment of soul. Happy are they who remember the Sabbath and sanctify it with prayer and song. Their homes are filled with light and gladness. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Praised be thou, O Lord, God of our fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, great, mighty, and exalted. Thou bestowest loving kindness upon all thy creatures. Thou rememberest the devotion of the fathers. In thy love thou bringest redemption to their descendants for the sake of thy name. Thou art our King and Helper, our Savior and Protector. Praised be thou, O Lord, shield of Abraham.
Oh, hey, no.
almighty and merciful God, thou hast called Israel to thy service and found him worthy to bear witness unto thy truth among the peoples of the earth. Give us grace to fulfill this mission with zeal tempered by wisdom and guided by regard for other men's faith. May our life prove the strength of our own belief in the truths we proclaim. May our bearing toward our neighbors, our faithfulness in every sphere of duty, our compassion for the suffering, and our patience under trial show that he whose law we obey is indeed the God of all goodness, the source of all life, that to serve him is perfect freedom, and to worship him the soul's purest happiness. O Lord, open our eyes that we may see and welcome all truth, whether shining from the annals of ancient revelations or reaching us through the seers of our own time. For thou hidest not thy light from any generation of thy children that yearn for thee and seek thy guidance. We pray for the masters and teachers in Israel, that they may dispense thy truth with earnestness and zeal, yet not without charity. May the law of love be found on their lips, and may they, by precept and example, lead many in the ways of righteousness. Bless, O God, all endeavors, wherever made, to lift up the fallen, to redeem the sinful, to bring back those who wander from the right path, and restore them to a worthy life. Endow us with purity of heart and steadfastness of spirit, that our lives may testify of thee and sanctify thy name. O, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Amen. Thou who art the source of all goodness and life, we thank thee for the countless blessings thou hast given us. We thank thee especially for the sacred joy and privilege of parenthood, which gives supreme meaning and purpose to our existence. Grateful for thy gift of a new life, happy parents have come to thy sanctuary this night to render homage unto thee, to invoke thy blessing, and to ask thy guidance in the upbringing of their child. Grant unto them wisdom, patience, and devotion, that they may teach this child to live in accordance with thy law. We pray thee, O Lord our God, be with them now and always, helping them fulfill thy commandment, Hoyu hadvorim hoela, asher anochi matzav cho hayom al levavecho, v'shinan tom levonecho. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So may they commence at once to teach their newborn child. Long before he is old enough for school, may they by precept and example, by the inspiration of their own character and lives, by a home which is warmly and richly Jewish, set his feet upon the path which leads to thee. And even as now at the beginning of his life, this child's birth is commemorated here in our temple, so may he ever look to the congregation of Israel in joy and sorrow alike as the center of his life. And now in thy sanctuary, here in the presence of this congregation, we give unto this child the name Jeffrey Bean Eskind. May it become a name honored in the household of Israel. Extend thy guidance unto him. Give him, we pray thee, health and understanding. And may he so live as to be a blessing for many years to his parents, to Israel, and to all mankind. Amen. We come now, dear friends, to the distinctively Purim portion of our Shabbos evening religious service. I think very nearly all of you are aware of the fact that in the conservative and orthodox synagogue, Megillas Esther, the scroll which tells the story of Purim, is read each year on the eve of Purim, which this year would have been last night. In this congregation, as well as in a great majority of Reform congregations throughout the country, the English translation of the scroll of Esther is read in the synagogue or temple on the Friday night closest to Purim, which fortunately this year happens to be the very night of Purim. For many, many centuries, Jewish craftsmen and artists have exercised their most precious talents in the decoration and the illumination in brilliant colors and with vivid imagination of the scroll containing the story of Esther. This Megillas Esther, from which we will read shortly this evening, was created a number of years ago by the Joint Ceremonies Committee of the Central Conference of American Rabbis and Union of American Hebrew Congregations. It is in English translation with only the chapter headings being in Hebrew, and it is used not only by ourselves but by very nearly all Reform congregations throughout the country. In order that it may not be necessary for me to interrupt further for additional announcements, may I tell you now that after the reading of a special Sabbath prayer for Purim, which you will find on page 83 of your prayer books, you will hear the chanting of the traditional blessings which are always recited or chanted before the reading of the Megillah. This will be followed immediately with the chanting of the first three verses of the Megillah in Hebrew according to the ancient chant. And following that, the English text of the Megillah will be read for us by three members of Temple Israel's Board of Trustees in the order in which they will read: Mr. Samuel Sid, Professor Alvin Sloan, and Mr. George Cohn. And now we continue our service in the Union Prayer Book, page 83. On this Sabbath of remembrance, when we recall Amalek and all the foes who have ever threatened our existence, let us dwell on the power of faith and devotion which has preserved us to this hour. Many are the enemies that have risen against us, but trusting in thee, O God, we have not been dismayed. Imbue us with the faith of former generations of Israel. Give us courage and steadfastness, that like Mordecai we may bend the knee to thee alone. Uphold us that like Esther, we may walk undaunted in the path of loyalty. When adversity and sorrow come upon our people, may we face them manfully as trials of faith. Amid suffering and persecution, may we continue to cling to thee and perform our appointed tasks in confidence and fortitude. Strengthen us to combat prejudice, injustice, and oppression when they strike not only against us, but men of whatever race or belief. Let not divisions of blood and faith create distrust and strife. May we strive unceasingly for the triumph of truth and right over falsehood and wrong. Thus shall we be united in a true covenant of brotherhood and peace. Amen.
Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus who reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. There was a certain Jew in Shushan whose name was Mordecai, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives that had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was of beautiful form and fair to look on. And when her father and mother were dead, Mordecai took her for his own daughter. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his royal house in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed down and prostrated themselves before Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not down, nor prostrated himself before him. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down, nor prostrated himself before him, then was Haman full of wrath. But it seemed contemptible in his eyes to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had made known to him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are different from those of every people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it profiteth not the king to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have charge of the king's business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Now when Mordecai knew all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And he came even before the king's gate, clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And Esther's maidens came and told it her, and the queen was exceedingly pained. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take his sackcloth from off him, but he accepted it not. Then called Esther for Hattah, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and charged him to go to Mordecai to know what this was and why it was. So Hattach went forth to Mordecai unto the broad place of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given out in Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him for her people. And Hathach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai.
Right there, my friend. Then Esther spoke unto Hathach and gave him a message unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law for him that he be put to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai bade them return answer unto Esther, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knoweth whether thou art not come to royal estate for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return answer unto Mordecai, Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner, and so will I go into unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? For whatever thy request, even unto the half of the kingdom, it shall be given thee. And Esther said, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, of those that kept the door, who had sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, There is nothing done for him. And the king said, Who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, Behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, Let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman said in his heart, Whom will the king delight to honor besides myself? And Haman said unto the king, For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse the king rideth upon, and on whose head a crown royal is set. And let the apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man therewith, whom the king delighteth to honor, and cause him to ride on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, Thus shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate, Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and caused him to ride through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor.
So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther, the queen. And the king said again unto Esther at the banquet of wine, Whatever thy petition, Queen Esther, it shall be granted thee, and whatever thy request, even to half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given to me at my petition, and my people at my request, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. And Esther spoke yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. And she said, If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, which he wrote to destroy the Jews that are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? And the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. Then said Harbonoah, one of the chamberlains that were before the king, Behold also the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. And the king said, Hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath assuaged. And Mordecai went forth from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan shouted and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, the Jews had gladness and joy, a feast and a good day. And Mordecai sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to enjoin them that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, the days wherein the Jews had rest from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to gladness, and from mourning into a good day, that should make them days of feasting and gladness, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews took unto them to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them, that Haman the son of the Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is, the lot, to discomfit them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that the wicked device, which Haman had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, and of that which they have seen concerning this matter, and that which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed, and upon all such as join themselves unto them, so it should not fail that they would keep these 2 days according to the writing thereof, and according to the appointed time thereof every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed.
Oh.
My dear friends, this is one occasion on which any rabbi in his right mind will deliberately limit his sermon to something less than its customary length. There are two particularly enjoyable features of any Purim service. One is the reading of the Megillah, which you have already heard tonight, and the other is the eating of Hamantaschen, which you still eagerly await. My sermon, coming necessarily as it does between these two, I'm afraid is something of a teaser. The longer I speak, the longer must your mouths water for Hamantaschen, and the shorter, therefore, I'm positive, will your patience become. And so I hope that tonight I may not abuse the sacred rabbinic responsibility of Purim brevity. I have announced the title of this sermon in the form of a question: the Purim story, fiction or fact? And even before I attempt directly to answer this question, I should like very much to call to the attention of those of you who may not yet have noticed it for yourselves several very peculiar circumstances surrounding this whole story that you just heard read from the Megillah and the holiday of Purim, which is, of course, based on that story. To begin with, we Jews have always been known through the centuries preeminently as a people of religious devotion and faith. And yet here we have in the book of Esther the strange paradox of a book which appears in our most sacred scripture, the Bible, and yet which does not contain from beginning to end even a single mention of the word prayer or the word God. Even in that challenging passage where Mordecai tries to motivate Esther to intercede for her helpless people, and where normally, naturally, we might just take it for granted that he would appeal to God, all that he says to her is, Revach v'hatzoloya mod la'yehudim mimokom acher. Relief and deliverance will arise to the Jews from another place. Not from God, as we might ordinarily expect the text to read, but just vaguely, generally, from another place. Along somewhat the same line, moreover, even when Esther has decided that she will intercede for her people and go in to appeal to the king, she asks Mordecai to rally the moral support of all the Jews of Shushan by having them fast for her, neither eating nor drinking for 3 days and three nights. Not to pray for her as we might normally expect, but only to fast for her. This is strange conduct indeed, is it not? From a people that was as accustomed as our ancestors were to pray and to rely in every extremity on God. Equally strange, I submit to you, is the fact that alone of all the holidays on the Jewish religious calendar, Purim has no prescribed ritual. The only thing the Talmud enjoins upon us by way of public participation in this holiday is that we must from year to year read the Megillah as we have tonight in public. Every other Jewish Yom Tov has its assigned liturgy. Purim has none. This then is the second suspicious circumstance surrounding the holiday that we belatedly observe tonight. And the third is the peculiarly inappropriate conduct that was condoned within the sacred synagogue itself, which, as you know, of course, was on all other occasions treated with utmost dignity and respect. On this one occasion, each time the name of Haman was read from the Megillah, the children in the synagogue were not only permitted, they were deliberately encouraged to make all the noise they could with their Gregors. I'm not sure it's even safe for me to add this historic footnote, but I shall anyway, that in Persia, the land where allegedly the story of Purim originally took place, the children aren't even limited to the whirling of Gregors. There, within the synagogue itself, they shoot off fireworks each time Haman's name is mentioned. And fourth and finally, may I point out to you that while we Jews have, through the course of the centuries, proved ourselves to be a people of utmost sobriety, on Purim, tradition enjoins each Jew to drink ad shelo yeda bein orur homon uvein baruch Mordechai, to drink until he no longer knows the difference, until he is no longer able to distinguish between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. This injunction, as a matter of fact, is actually included in the great medieval compendium of Jewish religious law, the Shulchan Aruch, created in the early part of the 16th century. To complete the picture, however, I really ought to add that the innate sobriety of the Jew immediately appeared, for later in the self-same generation, Moses Isserles, in his Ashkenazic commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, particularly on the passage called Ad Shelo Yeda, writes this. Some authorities, he says, say that it is not necessary to get as drunk as all that, but merely to drink more than one's normal allowance, so that he may fall asleep, and because he is asleep, not know the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. This rationalization is what we used to call, when we were students in the Hebrew Union College, taka a midrash. And despite this attempted retraction, the facts, my friends, are clear. Jews who on all other occasions were permitted to imbibe only with moderation were on this festival of Purim deliberately encouraged to drink liquid refreshment beyond their usual limits. Because this is above all a holiday of laughter and good cheer, I hope no one will take offense and none of you will think it inappropriate if I summarize, so to speak, all of these Purim peculiarities by quoting the words of an eminent contemporary comedian. Strange things are happening. So strange, as a matter of fact, that scholars are pretty well agreed by now. And here at long last, we begin to approach an answer for tonight's title question. Scholars are pretty well agreed that the story as told in the book of Esther never even happened. Now, it would be stretching the truth just a little bit too far to claim unanimous agreement. And yet the fact actually is, with no exaggeration of truth, that most competent authorities are by now convinced that if it is literal fact you are thinking of, then the Purim story is fiction. And there are a number of historic inconsistencies, both within the Megillah itself and outside it, which lead them to this conclusion. For example, Neither in the writings of Herodotus, the great Greek historian, who probably was contemporary to the period in which the story of Esther is alleged to have taken place, nor in any other historic source outside the Bible itself, is there any mention made of Persian queens by the name either of Esther or Vashti.